Thank the Lord for the good song service and that Spirit of God that's in this place and for this morning's service. What a wonderful, wonderful message we heard. You'll never forget that. Doctrinally, very correct. You just can't go wrong by just taking all the gospel like that and hearing somebody put it all together. And we in our church believe in the premillennial coming to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A lot of churches don't believe that, but the book does. And we heard this morning how true it is. And if you hear different kind of doctrines than that, it gets mixed up. It just dull. The Word of God, pure and simple. Thank God that we heard it this morning. And now tonight, Brother Patrick Aaron is going to come and pray, preach to us. We're going to pray for him. Let's pray for his grandfather, Brother Sammy. He's not doing too good. Might get to come home. We don't know. But anyway, he had blood clots. And let's pray for him. There he is. Brother Patrick, praying for you, my brother.
All right. So if you untap your Bible, let's please turn to Hebrews 12. While you're turning, I'll give you a quick update on Papa. I was able to make it to the hospital this afternoon to see him for a little bit. And Lord willing, if everything goes good, he'll be able to leave the hospital tomorrow, they were talking about. He's going to have to do some therapy. We don't know how they're still evaluating him as far as the therapy goes that he'll have to do, but Lord willing, hopefully tomorrow he'll get to leave the hospital. When you get to Hebrews 12, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The idea I want us to look at tonight is going to be the race. More importantly, our eternal race, our spiritual race. If we think about a race in Paul's time, it probably included, obviously Olympic-type races between athletes. Also, maybe horses, maybe ships, sailing, rowing with boats and stuff. But if we look at the races that we have today, we have, with time, we've invented automobiles, motorcycles, airplanes, boats, we've invented engines. And I'm sure you're well aware, if there's an engine on anything, rednecks are going to find a way to race it. So we think about a race, and what I want us to do is think about a race and how we can apply it to the spiritual race, the eternal race, and how we can see how they differ as well. So in any race, it's simply a competition to see who can finish first. Whether you're racing your buddies at Vacation Bible School from the sidewalk to the light pole, or you're running 600 miles in Charlotte with NASCAR races and stuff. Either way, there's a set destination, and whoever reaches that first is going to win the race. And if you don't mind, I want to turn one other place really quick. 1 Corinthians 9:24. And what I want us to do is kind of use mainly Hebrews, but I want us to look at this as well in 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 9 and verse 24. And here Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but only one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Basically, any race, man makes up, whether it's you know, 100-yard, 100-meter dash, you know, racing horses, anything like that, there's going to be one winner, one victor. Paul says here that we need to run this race that we may obtain that prize. With Jesus, when he died on the cross for our sins, he made it so that anybody that believes in him, accepts him as their Lord and Savior, wins that race. And when we see that, it's a lot easier to run our race knowing that we've already won. So when you accept Jesus, whether you accept him when you're 5 years old or 100 years old, you can rest assured that you have won the eternal race. So usually when a winner's declared in a race, the race is over at that point. So why does God have us still run our race here on earth even after we accept him as our personal Savior? And right here in this verse, I think it shows us a little bit. So run that you may obtain. Athletes don't necessarily run a race to win. Nobody's going to win every single race they run, whether they, you know, race car drivers, anything like that. You're not going to win every single race you enter. You do it for the love of that race. So when God saves us, we should run our race for him because he loved us, and we should show our love toward him and run that race and do it exceeding well. And let's go back to Hebrews really quick. Back to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want us to kind of look at these verses a little more, I guess, sectionalized. So we run the race with patience that is set before us. The race on earth is not our race here as a time frame, but it's not a 100-yard sprint. It's going to be an endurance type race. So we have to be patient in our race. And what we do with our patience, we can show God to others. So with any race, you know, human race, eternal race, we have what you call witnesses, spectators. There's going to be people watching the race. There's going to be two kind of people, and this is kind of where I want us to kind of, if there's nothing else we can get out of the message, I want us to get this part of it. So when we run our race, our actions speak louder than our words. People are going to watch you and see how you react to things that may happen to you. And that's what it's talking about with the sin and the weights that easily beset us. We all run the same race. We all are looking for the same victory, the same Savior. But what may be a hindrance in my race for Christ might not be so in other people's race for Christ. And that's where our race is run for others to see. So we run our race for God. We love him because he first loved us. And when we do that, it becomes a blessing for others. They see Christ through us. Obviously, the most important person that we can run a race for is those that are lost. And we need to... So what I do, you know, I work with the phone company. I'm going into people's houses day in and day out. And there's a lot of people that need the Lord, even in our county here. I may not necessarily be able to witness to them while I'm wearing the company's name on my shirt, and I don't do this as much as I should, but I pray every now and then that God would use me being there and they see something different within me that they want for their lives. So we run our race for those that are lost. When they see something within us, it kind of piques them and they want what we've got, which is victory through Jesus because he died for our sins. That's the only way we're going to be victorious in this life. It doesn't matter if you how much money you make, anything like that. It's going to be, when it's all said and done, if you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior, nothing else is going to matter. So we need to run our race for those people that are lost. But also, we run our race for our fellow Christians as well. Like I said before, stuff that may be a hindrance to me, or I may fall over sin-wise, is going to be different from, say, what Pastor Roy or Gunn or anybody else here will face. So what we do is we run our race for others, and when others are watching us, you know, some things happen in our lives, and people will offer words of encouragement. When you're cheering on your favorite race car driver, you're doing just that. You're cheering them on, you know, trying to keep them motivated to win the race. And that's what we do as fellow Christians with each other, is we help. Encouraging words can go a long ways. But when we, so I'm seeing this a little bit more the older I get too. You know, I grew up in this church, probably started going here when I was 4 or 5 years old, and have been here since then. But when I see people within the congregation, you know, I've seen them the past, I don't know, 25 years or so of my life. See how they conduct themselves when bad things happen. See how they are faithful to come to church. It's an encouragement to me, and that's what we need to run our race for. Just like the song said, and I don't think Randy could have picked any better songs today. I was just sitting there thinking that before I got up here. But, you know, first of all, victory in Jesus. You know, that's the only way we're going to win this race. Secondly, little as much when God is in it. So if you go, if you're faithful going to the house of God, God doesn't call everybody to be evangelists. He doesn't call everybody to be missionaries. If you're faithful to do what God's set before you, then someone's going to get a blessing out of it. And that's where little as much when God is in it. And we only have a short amount of time here on earth. It may seem like a long time. You know, my papa he was on earth 80 years before he had any real serious medical issues, what he's going through right now. And that's a long time for us, but it's nothing but a vapor to God. You know, eternity, we can't even comprehend that. So we have a short amount of time, and we got work to do with our race to show the lost Christ and then being encouraging to others. Who determines when our race is done? Well, that's Jesus. If we look at verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So we need to be a blessing to others. We need to show Christ to others with the way we live and the way we go about our race through this life, and show others Christ. We only have a set amount of time for that. And with leading or showing others Christ, as far as within our church, within the church, within Christianity, you know, we run our race for our fellow Christians. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpen the countenance of his friend." So we need to rely on each other. We need to pick each other up when one of us is down, and that way we can get to the greater cause of this race that we're running here on earth. And it's probably pretty quick, but that's about all I got tonight. So.
Amen, Brother Patrick. Well done. A race we're running for the Lord. A lot of things he had just makes so much sense that we run this race for one another. Sometimes we think people aren't looking, but they are. Particularly the lost people are looking at you and I more than we even imagine or think. And they even Christians are looking at one another. Seem like there's something about it that wants to judge one another. Not rightfully so, but we do we not? You know, we don't always know why we do things. I enjoyed that so much. Thank you for it. And one thing that really caught my attention is I reread again with him about laying aside weights. Who, you've seen, I love to see race on TV, not car race. I would never have watched one. If I start to, my neck kind of gets looking. If you like it, that's fine. But I like in the visual races, like you said, like 100 yard or 100 meter sprint, something like that. And I've been to a few high school races and things, nothing major. But I've seen those athletes. They don't carry heavy things. They get light shoes, and they get light equipment. Now, they train with those heavy weights, I've been told, and maybe even leg weights. But then they seem light as a feather when they get rid of those. And that's what we all do for the Lord, get rid of those weights of sin, distrust, jealousy, envy, hurt. How can we run an effective race for the Lord carrying baggage of dislike and bearing reproach, talking bad about one another? I'm not saying we do, but the Lord knows. And he even knows your thoughts. If you even think bad about someone else, that's a weight. It'll hinder you from winning that race for the glory of God. Appreciate that, my brother. That was really good. All minds and hearts clear. We've had a wonderful, wonderful day. Somebody said we might get some snow. Well, it's January. Anything can happen. If we do, that's okay, I guess. Anyone have a word, announcement, anything on your heart? Everyone stand. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you, Brother Patrick. Appreciate the goodness of God allowing us to be together today, and I'm still basking in the services. Song service has been absolutely wonderful. The Lord's been in every song, every testimony, every prayer, and the word we heard tonight and this morning. And I don't know about you, but I hope we recorded by DVD that second message, not Sunday school. I mean, we couldn't dare do that because he implicates people over there. I don't know we're having... The Russians may or may not know we're having church there. If they do, they're turned blind out, but you don't dare get that information out. And most anything we heard this morning in Sunday school. But tonight, or this morning rather, the second message, if we recorded that, and I hope we did, get a copy of that. That is straight, wonderful doctrine. It's just straight out of the book. I remember years ago hearing Percy Ray preach on Ezekiel, that same chapter, along the same line, and both of them had the same object, same direction, straight doctrine. You'll never hear better, and you'll never hear it more straight, easy to understand than you have heard this morning. Brother Patrick, I appreciate that. All minds and hearts clear?
Okay. A senior luncheon, 11:30 at Bay Breeze this coming week or this coming Tuesday, 11:30. And you don't have to be a senior to come and be a part of it. You don't have to sign up. Just show up there at 11:30, and Steve is going to buy everybody's lunch.
Okay. Appreciate the goodness of God today. Brother Bill, dismiss.
Father, how thankful we are that you're always mindful of us and you see us right where we are. We're just so blessed to be a part of this body. Lord, we can't thank you enough for the message that we heard this morning and the one that we've heard tonight. Help us to go forth from this place and show the light of Jesus to everyone we come in contact with this upcoming week. And just use us to get glory and honor under the name of Jesus. And what you do for us, we'll be so careful to thank you, for we pray in his name.